Addis v. Holder. Mr. Straub.
May it please the Court, my name is Eric Straub and I represent the petitioner in this case, Raul Barradas. I realize that my time is brief, so I will attempt to be as succinct as possible, and I think that the primary issue in this case, the ultimate question, is do the rules matter? There's certainly another elephant that's sitting in the room that I can't answer, which is perhaps why the government originally didn't submit a certified judgment of conviction in this case. But again, that's not something that I can answer, and certainly holding the government to its burden of proof is an ethical defense for my client. The other question that I do think I can answer is why do the rules matter in this case? Ultimately, the Board of Immigration Appeals determined that there was harmless error. They found one point of error. I would argue that there are many more, but they found one point of error and found that it was harmless. And I believe that not only is the Board of Immigration Appeals wrong, but it is very critical for this court to make a statement that the rules do matter in this case. And I feel that the government is essentially asking this court to take one document, an I-213, which is essentially, in common terms, a police report. And they're asking that this I-213 become the ultimate trump card for all of the statutory and constitutional rights that are afforded someone in removal proceedings. And in this case, that appears to be their argument, and there are several troubling aspects to that. First of all, as this court is aware, this case was charged in the notice to appear, and my client was alleged to have been convicted of smuggling, human smuggling.
But he's admitted it, hasn't he? What does it matter whether it's a conviction?
Your Honor, we believe that it is central to the claim that it was charged as a conviction.
He admitted it, didn't he?
I don't think the record is clear. In the proceeding where the immigration judge is questioning him, he denies every important aspect of the I-213, again, the report by the law enforcement officer in this case. He denies that he knew the birthplace of the children. He denies that he knew that they were not U.S. citizens. He denies that he was paid in the case. He denies that, essentially that there was human smuggling in the case. So I don't think that there was an admission. There are specific rules for admissions of criminal or otherwise prohibitive conduct that can get you removed in a case.
If we send it back, government produces the judgment commitment, he's deported. What gain do you get there?
Your Honor, that may well be true. But in this case, there were, again, numerous procedural and constitutional violations. And ultimately, as an attorney, sometimes we have clients who come to us and the only defense is a defense of holding the government to the burden of proof. And Mr. Barradas is certainly entitled to that defense, as every other person is that appears in immigration court. And we would very strongly argue that was violated in this case.
So they hold over the hearing until the government can get the document faxed, or however they get it there to introduce. What gain is there there?
Well, in fact, Your Honor, that's what happened in this case. There were actually two hearings preceding the ultimate hearing where the order of removal was issued. And in fact, this problem was identified at one of the prior hearings, and the judge did, in fact, indicate to the government that he would give them the opportunity to get the record of conviction. They expressed doubt as to whether my client had been convicted or not. And he also went further and said that I would be willing to give you additional continuances if you have problems with that. And so I think the principle is, again, do the rules matter? The government came into court without the judgment of conviction, and I would argue proceeded to trample on the procedural and constitutional rights of Mr. Barradas by what occurred in the hearing when they certainly had other avenues to prove this case. And so there are rules in place. There are specific rules in place that allow you to prove the existence of a conviction under the Immigration and Nationality Act. And an I-213, a police report, does not fall under those very specifically defined categories.
Is the conviction necessary?
That's the way that it was charged in this case, Your Honor.
Okay, but if they...
let's suppose, I doubt whether he was ever convicted here. He'd be convicted on October 10th, on entry on October 8th would be a historic speed in a federal prosecution. So there's no conviction. But is that necessary? If they had a hearing and someone, you know, kind of looks maybe a little fishy here, he goes there, and he did make, according to that police report, some statements. You get a police officer say, yeah, he told me he got paid $1,000. Little girls didn't speak English, so he knew what he was doing. He was bringing, either getting paid or doing it as a favor, bringing a couple of young girls into the United States illegally.
Well, I think it does matter, and I'll set aside the fact that we believe that the notice to appear should have been amended if that was the way that the government was going to attempt to prove the case. But again, there are other very important rights that are afforded Mr. Baradas that were violated in this case.
Right.
And
but
so,
but my question is, if you went back and crossed the T's and dotted the I's and did it the right way, is a conviction necessary to say that he was IJ to make a finding that on the evidence I think he was smuggling?
It's not necessary. The charge in this case is knowledge of smuggling.
It's just a delay game. It's just a delay game.
Your Honor, it's not a delay game. Mr. Baradas was not afforded an opportunity.
Yeah, but we know what the outcome will be, right? There's no doubt about it.
But we don't. The government has not come forward with the conviction, and I don't know why the government has chosen to do that over these.
Okay, well, we'll ask the government. Okay, thank you. Ms. Walls?
Good morning. May it please the Court, Kelly Walls for the respondent, the Attorney General. Just 4 years after becoming a lawful permanent resident, Mr. Baradas put his immigration status in jeopardy by attempting to bring two children from Mexico into the United States by presenting United States birth certificates to immigration.
What's the story about this conviction? Is there Judge Devens has suggested there probably isn't a conviction, given the timing. So what is the answer?
You know, that was the first thing I checked when I was assigned this case for briefing, and I'm not sure why the government attorney below was unable to present it. I was able to find it on PACER in about 30 seconds. He was convicted on October 11th, 2005, in the District Court for the Southern District of Texas.
So there is a documentary record?
There's most definitely a federal conviction.
Do they have a fast-track system down there?
I believe they do. I'm not that familiar with cases coming out of the Hidalgo, Texas port of entry, but it does appear that they do have a very quick system down there. In the I-213, it actually does note that he would be prosecuted for alien smuggling. Then the I-213 was updated about a week later to reflect the conviction. Mm-hmm. So there is, in fact, a conviction which...
The IJ could take judicial notice of a court record like that, but didn't in this instance.
You know, I think given that a conviction is not required for alien smuggling, he probably could in this instance. I think there was some uncertainty on the part of the trial attorney. I just think there might have been a miscommunication with the U.S. Attorney's Office down there. I'm not exactly sure why the document itself wasn't presented. But Mr. Baradas did admit on the stand that he was convicted. I believe it's at page 108 of the record. He had some very confusing testimony about what actually happened down there, but the immigration judge actually said, did he know that he had been charged with alien smuggling, showing him the complaint, and he admitted that he did. And then he said, so if I understand your testimony, Mr. Baradas, you entered a plea of guilty to that charge, and he admitted that, yes, he did. So Mr. Baradas admitted on the stand that he was convicted of alien smuggling.
He says it was October 10th, and you just said it was October 11th. Not that that's a big deal. But
yeah,
I know. These people all know what they're admitting to.
I would say probably, one-day difference is a Scrivener error, if anything, as far as... And actually, I'm not even sure the date was alleged in the NTA. And his testimony, honestly, was somewhat questionable. The immigration judge actually declined to credit it over the over the his statements made to Officer De La Fuente that were recorded in the I-213. The I-213 alone would be sufficient to establish the conviction, given that a conviction is not, or I'm sorry, given the inadmissibility and illegal activity, given that a conviction is not required. And because the government was able to meet its burden to show Mr. Baradas participated in illegal activity, that being the alien smuggling, it also necessarily showed that he was inadmissible as charged for alien smuggling, thus meeting its burden both for showing that Mr. Baradas was considered an applicant for admission and also inadmissible as charged. If there are no further questions, we would ask.
Thank you, Ms. Wall.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Straub, do you have anything further?
Your Honors, again, the rules matter in this case, and Mr. Baradas was entitled to have the court or have the government held to the burden of proof, and we believe that in this case that did not occur. We believe that he was called as a witness. He was questioned by the government as well as the judge in this case before the burden had been met by the government, and that he was not provided an opportunity to cross-examine the preparer of the record in this case. The government has dismissed that important right by saying that Mr. Baradas didn't provide any evidence to dispute the I-213. But in fact, he did. He denied the key elements of it. And there are many occasions where officers from various parts of the country take testimony by telephone. He could have been afforded a right to cross-examine the officer in this case and did object to the actual admission of the document. So we believe that there were many rights that were violated in the case. And at the end of the day, again, it becomes a question of, do the rules matter? My favorite choice...
He's got the conviction. What more do you
it's
want?
It's not a part of this record, though, Your Honor. And I don't know if she does or not. I mean...
But
my client has the right to examine that document and dispute it.
You can do that. You can look at it. You can show it to him. He admitted that he pleaded guilty. I don't know what he's going to do with the conviction. Anyway. Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel.